on October 12th, 2011. I don't know if that music was loud enough, but I was afraid to make it too loud. Anyway, I want to tell you that I learned something last week. You know, one of the important things on this show is that you learn something. I learned something, even if nobody else did. My guest last week was Alexandra Levitt, and she wrote a book. And one of the big ideas in that book was that being controversial is not good for your career. So I said, Alex, what if somebody writes a blog and posts stories from the mainstream media pundits? And then I gave her example after example after example after one story after another, and she had the opportunity to comment on them and explain exactly what she meant. I knew what she meant when we were done, and to me, that's a good interview. And it wasn't good because I depended on my guest to bring all the examples, all the ideas of what she's going to talk about. It was good because I brought the examples. I did. Now, I want you to think about behavioral interviewing. Remember that behavioral interviewing? A few years ago, every expert was telling you endlessly to ask candidates as if, you know, you're putting them in a hypnotic trance. I want you to think of a time you exhibited this skill or that ability. And if they didn't go to sleep, supposedly they're going to give you the right story. But I got to tell you something. It's hard to remember what you've done. Most of the guests who come on my show don't remember anything, nothing. Before they come on, I ask them to think of all the war stories in their long careers that they can share with us. I tell them, look, you know what makes a good interview? Stories without stories. You're just a blowhard without evidence to back up your big general idea type claims. And you know how many of my guests come here with stories? Nobody! Almost nobody, because you know why? Because that takes work to think up those stories. They think they can do nothing, no homework, and come here and not look like idiots. But it's not true. And you know what? They make me look bad, too. That's why it's hard to have a show that isn't boring, because my guests won't do anything. And there's a lesson there, job hunters. There's a lesson there for you. You know the whiners who always complain that the people who interview well get the jobs and not the people who can do the jobs best? Well, I got to tell you something. There's a reason for that. If you come to an interview and you can't give good examples of what you've done, why should anybody hire you? Think about it. And there's a lesson here for the hiring manager, too. You can't depend on the average person to come up with a lot of good stories. It's beyond them. Face it. It's hard to think of relevant stories from your past on the spur of the moment. I can't do it myself, I confess. So why not ask a lot of hypothetical questions instead of doing behavioral interviews? Ask the candidate, what would you do in this situation? You feed them the examples, just like I did with Alex. And if he knows his business, he'll have something meaningful to say. Yeah. Now, today, I'm hoping that we're going to have something meaningful to say with Amy Ella. That's my guest on Jerry Jerry. What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amy Ella. That's A-L-A. Very simple. Nice short name. Just wait till I ask, are you there, before you tell me you are. But, you know, I like the eager girls as well. Go ahead. Are you there, Amy?
I'm here.
Good.
Are you used to normally getting eager girls?
Eager. Sometimes. Sometimes, Mike. That's Mike A. Stringer. Jerry is here. And Amy, Before we gotta get going, usually these days I have someone doing breaking news, and I got actually two little stories I want to talk about before we get to you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. Now, Jerry had something he wanted to share with us LinkedIn.
Man, why do you always keep saying Jerry had something he wanted to share? I give you the anonymous info, then you get to make it seem like you've made these discoveries. This is stuff
Jerry,
that you've
I'm
researched.
Transparent. I give credit where credit is due.
I don't want credit.
Dude,
if everybody gave me all the credit I deserved, I'd spend my whole day saying, hey, thanks for pointing that out. Thank you here. Thank you there. I don't need it.
I didn't know you were so modest. I didn't know.
Cut me out.
Okay,
yes.
I'm gonna share what Jerry told me and pretend it's for me alone. Okay.
There you go. What'd you learn?
Okay. Now, if I want to break into a new area, a new industry, for instance, all I have to do is find. I go to a job like Indeed.com, some job board. I look up jobs in that area, and I look for jobs that are posted by recruiters specifically. Then when I find that recruiter's name, I go to LinkedIn, plug them in there, and then I look at that the other connections that person has made recently, because presumably
recent connections is what you're saying.
Yeah,
recent connections.
Presumably, yeah, they'll be talking with people from the relevant industry to
Ooh.
Fill those jobs that they're working on. And
I
then
like it, dude. I like it.
Yeah.
Who loves that, man?
I just connect with those same people. I create my database.
Dude, how easy is that?
Yeah.
You're killing me.
I'm not finished. Now, the thing is, I could also find out the names of the companies
Ooh.
Where those people are from and pick up job orders. And maybe, I can't remember how I thought of it, but maybe I can even get a job order with the same company that recruiter has. I can't
Touché,
remember how I thought.
Touché, animal. Touché.
Yeah, well, I guess if he's recruiting for salespeople and he's
yeah.
recently connected to a VP of sales, that might be the VP of sales at his client, right?
Yeah, good idea. You betcha.
Yeah, Amy, what do you think of that idea? Can you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Sounds like a lot of work. I think I'm going to give it about a 4.
A lot of work.
Oh, gee. Oh, I'm glad it wasn't Jerry who thought of that. It was me. I can take a hit.
Well,
yeah.
as someone who does that on occasion, Amy, I can assure you it's not really it's a lot less work than hoping to have somebody spot your tweet in the sea of tweeting madness or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mike,
so, no, it's not as much work as you think.
Mike A. Stringer, you want to rate that on a scale of 1 to 10? Still with us?
I'm still with you, but I wasn't paying attention. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Now, Mike, I got something I was going to ask you, and I know Jerry was going to disagree with you about it. I want to know what phone system you use. You have if I'm right, a geographically dispersed organization. You recruit over large geographic territories, and you work with people in different cities. Is that right?
Not only that, but we have contract recruiters in different cities and different places around the country.
So what do you do? How do you handle all that? Hey, who's eating their breakfast or lunch? Don't bang the pots and pans on this show, okay? So, Mike, go ahead. What phone system do you have?
Do you want me to say the name?
Well, whatever you want. It's not a secret. Just
well,
tell
I mean,
what
I don't
you
know.
Do.
I don't want to have free advertising on the show.
Why not? Why not? If you're proud of it, I saw you writing on Facebook that you like what you're using. Why not share that with my audience? If you don't want to, just say, I don't want to.
I'm actually migrating to a system called Freedom 800. It's freedom800.com. But the point of the matter is that having a virtual – Jerry had responded to a Facebook posting I had saying that having an 800 number is antiquated. But the fact of the matter is having a virtual PBX system in an 800 number I think is a great solution. If you have, as you said, geographically dispersed recruiters, employees, salespeople, if you have a salesperson in Pennsylvania calling out into California, it just sort of – takes away those geographical boundaries and gives one general phone number
for
everybody to use.
Okay, now Jerry said you don't need an 800 number because long distance is so cheap.
Hold on, however,
right.
though, Animal. I wasn't talking about having a distributed virtual system. That's a whole different deal.
What is
so
that?
So there,
is
there goes
virtual,
your topic.
What is a virtual PBX system? I don't understand that. What is it? Just briefly, I don't want to neglect Amy here. Come on.
Somebody dials one number, and for Mike, ring extension 103, for Amy, 105, and it then routes the call to wherever their They could be in their basement. They could be in a corporate office. They could be anywhere.
What does it mean that it's virtual? Does that mean it's online?
It's a software as a service, so you're not buying and paying for that equipment. It's all handled online.
Okay, so you're not using the phone. You're using the internet. Is that a VoIP? Is that
what
you mean?
No, it's not a VoIP. It's a software as a service application that's routing the calls.
Okay, it's too complicated for me.
With a virtual attendant and all of that, and the service starts at like $25 a month. I mean, it's really cheap to use.
So does that include – I just don't think that you need to pay for other people's long-distance charges anymore. And that's what I was talking about.
You're right, Jerry, but I'll take on that cost. I mean, for $25 a month, I get 1,000 minutes, and for $60 a month, I'd get 2,500 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
You know, for that, it's worth having one centralized phone number versus having everybody getting calls on their cell phones or whatever else they're using. And again, it hides the fact that you're a biz dev resource in Philadelphia calling out into the Silicon Valley.
And I do understand that you are trying to hide a lot of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, which is cool.
Last question. If someone's interested in that, Mike, what website can they go to?
Freedom800.com.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Mike, I like it. I like the idea, and I'm giving it a thumbs up.
I've used a different system for 6 years, and it's been very, very effective. I'm just migrating to this new one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you tell us the name of the one you're using now as well?
Grasshopper.com.
Okay. Yeah, Amy. Hey, Amy, can you hear someone moving all their stuff around in the background there?
I hear pots banging.
Yeah, it's not terrible. I think it's Jerry, but, yeah,
that's
it's
all right.
Okay.
I don't work in my kitchen, dude.
Okay.
He's a multitasker.
So, Amy, want to rate that idea? You got something to say about that phone system?
Oh, man. Why is it so complicated? Hey, I sit in Seattle, and here's my phone number. I mean, call my cell phone. I don't know. I understand the concept, but for me, I don't know. You said there's an attendant, though, because if I call and I have to go through this, you know, enter in the extension you're looking for, blah, 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 I'm just going to hang up.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. That's a bad – you don't like it. You don't have to say what rating you're going to give it. Now, Amy, nobody knows who you are. Give us your –
But hold on. Let me – just one last thing on the –
Stop it. Drop it.
No.
Go ahead.
Mike's question was, what number should I have spelled out in my 800 number, like 1-800-RECRUITING or – and my reply was, I hate spelling stuff when I'm dialing a phone.
Well, I can assure you that I would have put the phone numbers next to my auto signature, but I just thought since I have to get a new phone number, it might be something cool to do, but you made your views very clear.
Okay, you guys, enough already. You're not in charge of the show.
No, just a few more points on this, and then we'll move on.
Quiet, I'm going to turn you off, and I believe it's Maureen Sherub who's in her kitchen. She might not even be listening to the show.
I think it's usually Jerry turning people off, so it would be unique if you did it, Animal.
Okay. Now,
okay,
listen,
I'm sorry. It's Cora that was in her kitchen, not Maureen.
Okay, well, don't do it. Don't do that.
That's a clear violation.
I'm sorry, man. I got home late from a meeting and had to make lunch.
We'll introduce you later. We'll introduce you later. Amy,
yes.
See what I got to put up with.
I do.
Can you do your elevator speech, will you? I give those guys an inch to say something interesting, and they take a yard and make it boring, and then people say I got a lousy show and hang up. Go ahead, Amy. Who are you?
I'm Amy Alla. And I'm a corporate recruiter. No booze, please. I spent about 10 years or so in the third-party world, spent a couple years in government, and lived to tell about it. And now I recruit for Zones in Seattle, Washington.
And
what does being a corporate recruiter have to do with no booze?
Okay. No,
I mean, why are they?
Not drinking, Jerry. It's not that funny a joke, okay?
It was reasonable. You got to take your shots, Animal. Jeez, man.
Okay.
I'll take one.
Did you like it, Amy?
Oh, I think you're hilarious. That's why I came on, because I knew you were going to be here.
Yeah, there. That's good, Amy.
You
make him feel good. Now, look, Amy married a guy who she now makes fun of on her blogs, her ex-husband. So, really, that doesn't reflect well on your abilities. You had two kids with that guy.
I did.
Now you're making him look like a moron.
I know. I'm really just shining light on the moronic behavior that already exists. I was 19. What can I say? But I have a new husband now who's awesome. And
oh, you got, you're married. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
got it right,
so you,
time around.
You're a corporate recruiter,
yeah.
And you used to be a third-party agency recruiter. Now, people tell me I don't really understand what an agency is. When you say agency, what do you mean?
So I worked for companies like Act One. Robert
what do
Half.
They do? I don't care what companies you work with, and I got to tell you, you are a job hopper like nobody's business.
Yeah, I know. I really was. I'll admit it. That's the difference between me and the rest of the job hoppers.
Okay. And but what is an agency? Is it just like a boiler room, a people pusher kind of place, or do you
Some
look
of them
for
are.
Large? Are you looking for large contracts to move lots of IT contractors or something like that?
No, see, I never actually did IT. I started in light industrial and then moved up to clerical and then moved up to more professional services. I actually don't like large contracts. We had a lot of those at some of the agencies I worked for, and I hated them. They're
okay,
awful.
But it's not like headhunting where you're looking for a certain kind of programmer and you're looking for one person. You guys contract to get numbers of people into a place. Is that what you
right?
Is that what
at
you did?
Some of them, but then other agencies I worked at was more of a headhunter model. Like Yara, I worked
okay,
at Yara.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to just dive right into. You're a person who's done a lot of blog postings. That's why Recruiter Daily. That's why he. Is it Recruiting Daily? I can't remember. He recommended you because you do a lot of postings on recruitingblogs.com. You're very talkative, okay? And people say, oh, I love your postings. So one of the things you say is you don't like cold calls that you get from third-party recruiters. And here's one of your reasons that you state clearly. You say to the third – you're talking rhetorically to the recruiter. You say, you have given me – first you say what they say. Then you say, you've given me no indication that you even know who I am, what I want, or how you can solve my problem. Do you know what my problem is? You're really whining there and screaming. Look, honey, how can I know what your problem is until I talk to you, until I get you on the phone?
Animal, you're supposed to call her up and pretend like you've got a candidate absolutely qualified for the job that she's posted on CareerBuilder, but you didn't see the ad on CareerBuilder because you don't just scour the job boards. You heard in the marketplace that she's looking for somebody just like that, and you're here to solve her problem because you heard she had that problem. You're here to solve
it. Okay, Amy. Thank you, Jerry. Amy.
Yes.
I have a full version of what you want to hear, but what's wrong with that? How can the guy know what you need,
what your problems are? If the guy calls me up and says, look, I don't know anything about you or what you want, but I'd like to find out. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? Absolutely. Let's talk then. But when you call me up and you're pretending to be God's gift to recruiting and you know everything and you're better connected than everybody else in town and you're going to – no, I don't want to hear that stuff because I made those calls and they were bad when I made them too.
Yes, but what if you really are God's gift?
That's Cora. God's gift in Detroit.
God's gift in Detroit.
God's gift in Detroit.
Okay. But she's saying that these people are not God's gift, and I assume that's because you've been on the other side or you've tested a few of them and they haven't worked out. Is that right, Amy?
Yes.
Okay.
And
you know what? When they say they're God's gift, tell me exactly how they promote themselves that you don't like. What are they saying? Those messages.
We're a market leader in IT staffing. We're different from everybody else. We've got a bigger database. Our recruiters have been with us for 10 plus years. You need more?
Yeah,
sounds like Jerry's pitch.
Sounds like every recruiter's website.
I don't have a pitch, Mike. Go ahead, people.
Now, here's what I'm going to read you.
You probably have a pretty good spiel, don't you, Mike?
Yeah.
I do, actually,
okay.
But I use it in the bars to pick up chicks, not for recruiting.
Yeah.
Spiel, boy.
This is what Amy says she wants to hear. Hi, Amy. It's the Recruiting Animal calling. I'm a recruiter with recruitinganimal.com. My phone number is 646-652-2754. I found you on LinkedIn and found out that your company has over 100 current openings, will double revenue in the next 3 years, is the largest IT reseller in the USA. Very impressive, Amy. And I'd like to talk with you about your recruiting efforts. What's working and what's not? I'd like to know that and see if my experience might be able to boost what you're already doing. Again, Amy, it's the Recruiting Animal at 646-652-2754. Have a great day. Amy, that's what you want to hear, right?
That would be better. I would return that call.
I actually
you
like
better.
That.
You wrote it yourself.
I know. And it worked.
Okay. Well, how does a person find out that you've got over 100 current openings?
Well, I imagine they would start with our website or any of the crying that I do on Twitter and LinkedIn.
Okay, so not every person, not every corporate recruiter is talkative like you and blabbing all over the place. Okay, how can a third-party recruiter find out how many openings you've got? You're saying they should say something like that. How can they know? So you go to the website. That's what you said, right?
They can talk to people who work here. They can talk to people who recently left the company.
Come on. How are they going to know that you're going to double revenue in the next 3 years?
Well, if you'll read the rest of the blog, which I'm sure you did, so I know you're dying to get to it, I think there was a second script that I left for you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? That one was the same one that that Jerry just said at the beginning, okay? He gave your script, your second script. Go ahead.
Hopefully it's the one that she
hates. I don't think I was paying attention when he said that.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us what's the best way to present yourself over the phone in a cold call to a corporate recruiter, for a third-party recruiter. Come on. You got an idea? Don't hold up. Don't make me beg.
Do I have an idea? No, see, now I'm going to give you all these ideas, and now my phone's going to get blown up with third-party recruiters.
Who do you think is listening to this show? You think you're that popular that they're banging down the doors to hear you?
I think so.
As soon as the show's over, I'm calling her with
her script. I think they're here to hear you.
Look, don't wreck my show.
Listen,
I just got to tell you, you heard my introduction.
Hey.
Don't wreck my show. I'm feeding you the stuff from your own blog. You should have thought of it already, okay?
Don't make me drag it out of you.
Hey!
Are we ready? Are we ready for my
social
wisdom?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, all right. So it's real simple. It's, hey, listen, I'm a third-party recruiter. I'm looking to get some business. I'm looking to earn some business. You know, your company is a company that I've placed people with in the past or companies like it. Just give me something real. Just tell me the truth. Listen, I want to earn your business. I want to figure out how to work with zones. I know you guys are hiring a lot. Let's talk. Let's grab a cup of coffee. Let's get together on the phone. Just be honest. Don't give me a spiel.
Should they add in, let's do this?
If
that sounds kind of hip.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Well, I hear you're divorced, so can we have coffee and talk about business and what you're doing tomorrow night?
She's got beautiful strawberry blonde hair as well. Long, but she's married already again. Okay?
Yeah,
just like your wife, she's married.
Birthday party, so.
How you doing?
If you look closely, you'll see a sombrero in the background.
Okay there, Amy. That's it. Okay, that's it for that one. Now you tell us as well that you've got hiring managers who say, I want people who want me but don't need me.
No. Nope. I said I have a hiring manager who said, I want people who are running to us, not running away from something bad.
That's the same thing. They want me,
not.
But don't need me. They don't need me.
Same thing, Animal.
Not
you are correct.
Thank you.
The same
Jerry
thing.
Jerry says I'm correct. You know I am, okay? Because
nope.
He's looking to put me down.
That hurts
they
me.
Not correct.
It hurt me to say that.
It's not correct. No, it's not correct. What that means is that this particular manager made the case, which I do agree with. I don't think it's going to be the right answer to every single person we hire, but somebody that wants to work for our company, not because they just need a job to get off unemployment, not because they hate their current boss, but for other reasons, for better reasons than just that. That's his point.
Well, you know what? Jerry's got a point, and I know why he's defending that, because his idea is that you can ask everybody, why do you want to leave your current employer? Because there's a reason. Jerry believes there's a reason they want to leave, not just that they want to go somewhere. And you know what? I saw you discussed it. If you're recruiting passive candidates, they don't necessarily know anything about your company. They're happily employed where they are. They're not coming to you. Like you said in your article, you have to woo them. You have to woo them. You know,
absolutely.
Don't expect them.
However,
I want you, Mr. And I got to tell you something else that I liked about your writing. You think hiring managers are the stupidest people in the world, and I agree with you. All you do is have problems with these jerks every day. They don't know anything.
Adamo, I just looked at Amy's picture, and I am not going to put up with you yelling at her.
Hey, Amy, once you look at Mike's picture, you'll tell him to go ahead and stop defending you.
Okay,
can I just throw something in on this particular topic? Need to want to work here. One of my customers, and we've been working through this for the last month, when I submit a candidate to them, they also want this stupid questionnaire filled out. And one of the five or six questions, along with why you're qualified and all that, is why do you want to work for us? I think that's an absurd question to ask anybody before they've interviewed anywhere.
I think a better one is, why would you be interested in even talking to us?
Right. Why do you want to interview here?
Yeah, why would you want to
interview
here?
Rather than why do you want to work here?
Yeah.
It's...
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. And let me also say, though, when we're talking about a passive candidate, right, obviously that person doesn't know me from anybody unless they've listened to your show. Now I'm famous. But, you know, they don't know zones. They don't know why they should want to work here. I have to do the convincing. I have to woo them, right? By the time they get in front of that VP, if I've done my job and I've vetted them properly and I've engaged them properly, they're going to want to work here, or else they wouldn't be interviewing with my VP.
Okay,
of course, if your VP
listen.
Doesn't also woo them, that can screw the whole deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if I've done my job with the hiring managers, the bane of my existence, then, yes, that
mm-hmm.
there should be some...
Okay, let me just switch gears. Cora,
uh-huh.
I think you called last week. This is the first time I've ever talked to you. I've seen you on Twitter, on Maureen's chat. Now, your name on Twitter...
You made me change my name.
Yes, I helped you change your name to an intelligent, more intelligent name. But
uh-huh.
now it's Cora. It's Cora Mae, and you've got L for the first initial of your
last name. No, actually it's one Cora Mae.
One Cora Mae, okay.
And the
so
first
Mae
Cora Mae.
Okay, great. Okay, and you're a sorcerer or a recruiter? Do you do everything or just one thing?
Solo shop, I do it all.
Okay, and what's
since
you have
1993.
Yeah, do you have a specialty?
Technical accounting, technical research.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but we'll talk to you about that another time. I just wanted to introduce you to the people on the show, and in the future, try to eat before you get on the show, or don't eat something. Eat a sandwich you can hold in your hand, not that you have to scrape the plate with the fork, okay? Now, anyway, back to Amy. Amy, you
yeah.
tell people, the job hunters, when they're trying to figure out what they're going to ask, to go to salary.com or payscale.com.
Yeah, that's an option.
Trust those sites?
Absolutely
those
not.
Sites?
No, I don't trust them implicitly, but I think that needs to be part of the research. You don't need to put all of your eggs in that basket, but that should be part of it. Talk to other people in the industry. Look at your labor market sites for your particular state. You need to kind of gather that information from everywhere. But if we're going to talk salary, let me tell you the biggest problem people make with salary, talking about candidates, is salary requirements does not mean what your credit card and your mortgage bill is. That has nothing
right.
to do with salary requirements. So if you're going to negotiate salary with me, come at it with some knowledge more than just your own pocketbook or lack thereof.
You mean the market.
That's what I'm saying.
What you can
yeah,
tell
what
yourself
the market
for.
Will pay.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Mike.
When you're negotiating salary, because there seems to be very different trains of thought on this,
mm-hmm.
how much emphasis do you put on what they're currently earning?
Good question.
Really very little. Very little. I mean, I got quite a nice bump when I came here. So thankfully, my company didn't look at my previous salary and decide what to pay me. So, it's very little, frankly, but it's the numbers have to come from somewhere. We can't just pull them out of the air. Oh, hey, I like you. I'm going to pay you $150,000. That's not going
to
happen.
Doesn't it have
no,
more to do
with
the average pay in the group? Like if you've got
that's
a group
of
DBAs
yeah,
or whatever, and they're all making
it.
80,
it's
that's
also,
what you get paid.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but we've also got some groups that have been around a while, and frankly, they're underpaid. So we can't necessarily bring on new people at that same average. We've got to kind of leverage everybody across the board, and that means new people are coming in higher, as well as internal people are getting bumped, too. So
let me ask you something. Your current
yep.
people are underpaid, and you bring
yep.
in new guys and pay them more than the people of equal talent and experience who've been there a long time? Is that what you're saying you do?
Well, I don't think we should assume that they're of equal talent and experience.
Okay, that's different then. Okay, so they're better than the guys you've already got. And
maybe. I don't
paid.
Know.
Yeah,
I don't
she
know.
Didn't know.
So
I didn't
I'd
hire
work,
those people.
So
go
I'd
ahead,
work
Mike.
For you just based on your picture on Twitter. But let's say I'm making $100,000.
Yes.
And your job can there's a reason I'm asking the question. And your job can pay 80. Do you introduce me to a hiring manager?
Not unless the hiring manager is willing to give you at least 100K or more, if the position justifies it.
So you go into it eyes wide open, not saying,
absolutely.
Here's a great candidate.
I don't want to get beat for not making a salary range. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Who's going to take a 20K pay cut?
A lot of people expect you to.
Unless there's a really good reason for it. Unless your industry has bombed, there are no jobs in your area of expertise paying 100K. No matter where you go, you're going to be 70 to 80. Well, then you might as well come here. But that's probably rare.
But you say that recruiting is a sales job, and then you list the talents or skills that are necessary to be a good recruiter or that are really typical of born recruiters. But I noticed that persuasive skills are not among the traits you mentioned. I'll read your traits.
Thank you.
Is self-directed, motivated by results, very eager to achieve results, handles rejection well, is organized, and honest. Now, I can see where handling rejection well makes the position stand out a bit from someone in the back office who doesn't have to talk to people, but that's it. Is that the key? Everything else really belongs to every job. I mean, is that the key to being a good recruiter, being someone who's not afraid of being rejected by a person they cold call or something like that?
So, I mean, that's a big part of it, don't you think? There's a lot of, you know, obviously the persuasiveness, that's important too. I don't know how I missed that one, but thanks for pointing it out.
You didn't mention, what is persuasiveness? What is persuasiveness then, if you're saying it's important?
Well, I think it's just the ability to influence somebody. But that goes to being trustworthy, because nobody is going to believe you. Nobody's going to let you guide their career or let you convince them to interview for this job, especially if they're already happily working somewhere else, unless you can persuade them. And in order to persuade them, you got to figure out, okay, what's their hot button? Is it salary? Is it location? Is it upward, you know, whatever?
How do you do that? How do you do that?
You just
got to
ask questions.
You ask them.
You got to ask them. Just, you know, what do you need? What would it take? Or not what would it take? That's like a car salesman. But, you know, what would be compelling enough
for
you to look at this?
Let me give us your cold call when you were a third-party recruiter, or even now. I don't know what you're doing exactly. But let's say you got a name from LinkedIn or through referral, and you don't know that person, and you make cold calls to them, yes or no?
Yes.
What,
and I am so not cool. I am not suave at all. I've got no pitch. I just say, hey, listen, I found you on LinkedIn. You got a lot of the skills that I'm looking for to fill this position. I have no idea if you would have any interest at all in talking to me, but here's my number. Let's chat. I am so – I have got no game.
And what's your percentage of callbacks on that?
Probably about 50, 60.
Okay, and how many times do you call back the person who doesn't reply on the first message?
I will, depending on how I found them, I'll usually try to follow up with like an email or an in-mail or something. I don't want to harass people. You know, they know where I'm at.
You won't even make three phone calls.
It depends.
After three phone calls, you can pretty much assume that they're not too plugged in to wanting to connect with the
career. Yeah, I mean, I have made three phone calls.
She doesn't make three phone calls.
That's your boy Mike's virtual phone system right there.
It is absolutely not me.
Who is it? I'm going to test these phone calls. Hold on.
There you go.
There. You know who it is. Area code 513.
God, that hurts me.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I changed phone.
Oh, no.
There it goes again. Oh, gee whiz. Jerry, is that you?
I think
it's not me.
Yeah, the phones don't work out very well.
You know what? I can't do it. Area code 248, maybe that's it. I just plugged that person off.
That was Cora. Cora May.
Hey, Cora May is here.
Okay.
That's not your bad phone, Cora May?
Okay, sorry.
My phone's not bad.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Let's start going again.
You were guilty earlier of cooking and the dishes banging.
Yeah, okay,
Jerry.
Don't
be upset with me for suspecting you.
But you know what? I would forgive Amy just based on her Twitter picture.
Yeah. Okay.
No, and I think that's a good point that Mike brings up as an example. As I understand it, Mike is a good recruiter, and he obviously faces rejection and deals with it frequently.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not
now,
scared
Amy,
of it.
But
really?
Hey, that's actually a good topic, and
Amy,
I'm going to say this. When I was single, I would treat my dating life very much like my recruiting life. You know what?
I wrote a blog about that.
You keep throwing it out there until you get some success.
There you go, I'm with you.
And you know what? I got to hit it many more times than most.
Hit it.
Playing the numbers game.
Okay, Amy.
Yes.
Let's say the target person actually picks up the phone. It's taken me 5 minutes to get from the last question about cold calling to this one. The person picks up the phone, okay?
Yes.
What do you say to that person? You gave him the spiel, and he says, I'm not interested. What do you say?
Say, all right, cool, let me leave you my number, and if you know anybody else who would be interested, would love to talk to him. Say, who do you know that does this kind of work?
I don't know anybody.
You don't know anybody? Then you need to talk to me because you need friends.
Good
point. Oh, really? Is that what you'll say?
Absolutely.
And what? Okay, Amy. Amy, and he's going to say that more because I'll agree with Mike here because you're a girl than it would with me.
And so
the guy says, yeah, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? What do you start talking about? Your company?
Say, well, tell me about your career. How'd you get to where you are? What do you like about it? What makes you stay there? Maybe I should come work for your company. You guys hiring recruiters? I mean, it depends.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of you make it about the person because everybody wants to talk about themselves.
I don't think people want to talk about themselves, quite frankly.
Really?
Hey, Amy, just as a point of reference, I mean, I know you haven't been involved in the show much or at all.
Ever.
Animal. Animal here is absolutely fascinated that people would actually talk to recruiters and that you can have conversations based on what they're talking about and ask a question that shows that you're listening to them, but you move the conversation forward. The whole thing really blows him away. He's
wow.
Yeah. So just throwing that out there for
you. You know what? Actually, I saw Amy wrote that she likes placing young guys named Mike. Okay.
How you doing?
I've had a lot of luck with Mike lately.
How you doing? You want to get lucky with a Mike again?
I got another question for you. You like career mixers better than job fairs.
This particular one was really good. I've gone to
okay,
three
general,
of them.
Okay, generally speaking, you say job fairs, the people walk around like depressed zombies, feeling sorry for themselves,
yep.
A bunch of losers. And when they come to your booth.
I didn't say bunch of losers, but go ahead.
But that's what you conveyed, okay? That's the image you conveyed. And
that's what you picked up.
Yeah, okay, that's what I interpreted. And when they come to your booth, all they're interested in is getting the loot bag or the swag.
Absolutely.
Swag or swag? How do you pronounce that?
Swag. I'm probably saying it wrong.
But no. The jargon is swag for fun. I think people say that.
Yeah, let's
anyway,
do that.
So
swag.
You give them their loot bags or swag, and then you went to this one that was held at a bar, and you thought that was great. It was much better than all the others.
Yeah.
And you made a point of saying what you liked was that all of the conversations were real short, right?
Yes.
Conversations, this is what you said. Conversations were short and sweet, friendly banter, exchange business cards if appropriate, then move on. Interactions were only a few minutes long, although you might talk to the same person multiple times if they brought back people who were relevant. I want to know, how did you get rid of these? Like, obviously, Mike is swooning over your picture alone. There must have been people who wanted to talk to you. You sound like you're fun. How did you get rid of them? That's another one of my regular questions.
This is what, this is what Mike calls the hit it and quit it. And obviously, Amy practices that as well, and I think we'd all like to hear about it.
I think we have a great match here.
Okay, well, first of all, I have to say how this particular mixer is set up. This is a career coach that's based here in Seattle. I don't want to necessarily plug him. I don't know if that's appropriate, but he's really good at what he does, and he puts together these mixers. And these are people who've actually kind of attended his boot camp or attended different seminars that he holds. So they've already been told, don't harass people at these things. Don't follow recruiters. Recruiters get a red name tag, so we stand out. So they already kind of know what to expect going into it, which I think helps a lot. But when you get in that situation, and I have had that happen, I had a woman who actually found me at the second one as well, which is kind of a problem, but where they just want to talk to you all the time and they want to give you their resume and they want to, walk out with a job offer, you have to just touch their arm and say, I really love talking to you, but I got to move on to this other person, and you walk away and you go find someone else to talk to. But for the most part, people really self-manage really well, and they know, okay, I've monopolized this person's time for 3 minutes now, I got to talk to somebody else. So it's not typically a problem.
You know, I just got to mention something. Kirby Cole was on the show. His name's Kirby Cole. You'll find him on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's listening right now. The guy is the same as you, an agency recruiter who went corporate. I thought surely he'll have the brains to call in and contribute to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Kirby,
he's got a,
where you at?
He's got a snipe. He's got a snipe from Twitter, okay?
Uh-oh.
No guts. Okay, I just want to point that out.
And oh, before you move on, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you think that Jerry had to go to coolphrases.com to find Hit It and Quit It?
It was pretty good.
I'm so hip, dude. You aren't even in the same room, brother.
Yeah, okay. Okay, now I'm going to – Kirby Cole told us one of the things he said, third-party agency recruiters believe a lot of stupid things about corporate recruiters that aren't true. Would you agree with that?
Some third-party recruiters.
He,
and I think
okay.
the opposite is true. I think a lot of corporate recruiters believe a lot of dumb things about third-party recruiters, too.
Like what?
That they're all mindless salespeople who just want to hit their numbers. I don't think that's true for everyone. And I've said this in at least one blog, if not more, that there are some third-party recruiters I really like and I really want to work with.
Uh-huh. But you said most of them leave you those moronic messages.
The ones that call me. But you have to understand that more often than not, they'll find me through LinkedIn. They'll find me through Twitter. They'll have my cell phone number because it's on my business card. You know, they find me through other ways other than just hitting up my receptionist and asking for a recruiter. And because I'm the nice one, I get all the calls.
How many calls do you get?
I mean, I put my business card in fishbowls to win free lunches. I'm not hard to find.
How many calls do you get a week?
Well, you know, since I wrote that blog, it's dropped dramatically.
Good.
I have to say. I
yeah, you know what?
She must get,
think people read that stuff. You got five
I'm
comments.
You
have 10 readers.
Yeah, I know. It's getting around. I used to get probably 4 or 5 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me just say the things that Kirby said. He said,
yep.
Third-party recruiters believe that corporate recruiters don't like agency recruiters. True or false?
Well, the problem is most of them don't. Frankly, it's, you know, I do. I like them because
okay,
I came from
right.
there. And
okay,
I
yeah,
get
yeah,
it.
You explained it already. I just, let me guide you through the show, okay?
Oh, all right. Sorry, I forgot it's
number
your show.
Two.
I thought it was the Amy show.
Yes,
yeah,
let me guide
believed,
you through.
He says the third-party recruiters usually believe that corporate recruiters don't give timely feedback. But the truth is, he says, that they don't get timely feedback from the hiring managers, the geniuses they're working for, and the hiring managers really don't care about it, and you can't force them to give timely feedback. Is that true or false?
Oh, you can force them.
How?
You can camp out in front of their office until they're willing to talk to you. I've actually involved my director in getting feedback before if I have to.
Uh-huh.
So will it be
okay.
within 5 minutes? Probably not, but I'll get it. One way or the
okay,
other.
See, and Kirby isn't here to defend himself when you disagree with them. And
Kirby,
also,
where are you at?
He's on Twitter, and he says that third-party recruiters believe that corporate recruiters don't give enough feedback. And again, he passes the buck to the hiring managers. He said these guys don't care about reviewing what they thought about every candidate. They'll see the 3 or 4 people you brought in. They'll say, make that guy an offer, hire that guy, and they don't want to talk about the other people. So you can't really, a corporate recruiter doesn't have any information to pass on to the third-party recruiter. Is that true
well,
or false?
Well, there's two sides to that. I think, first of all, it comes down to the relationship you have with the hiring managers. I have 13 hiring managers. I have very, very good relationships with some of them, certainly not all of them. The feedback is going to be relative to the relationship I have with them. I'll get more from those that I'm closer to. However, there may be feedback it is not necessarily safe to share.
Like?
We could get two.
Well, you said I couldn't swear on this show, so I don't know if I can really tell you.
Okay, don't tell me. Okay,
but shouldn't you have
know,
a good...
But there may be feedback.
Hold it. Shouldn't you have
say,
a good enough...
You know, this person was completely crazy and they, you know, had crazy eyes and, you know, picked their nose in my office, whatever. And I'm not saying that we can't necessarily share that. But, again, we have to be careful. We have to... You know, circle the wagons a little bit, I think, in some cases. You can't say word for word what a hiring manager may have told you.
I think you can
okay.
if you're working with the right recruiters.
And that's true, too. I mean, all of this is very, you know, there's no blanket rule in any of this. It all comes down to who you're working with and the level of the relationship.
Yep.
Okay, now let me ask you something, Amy. Have you ever heard of JobSpeak.com? JobSpeak.com. Now, I've been doing ads on JobSpeak for a few months already because you know what? They're the only sponsor of this show. So I'm going to tell you about them as well. JobSpeak is a free mobile job posting application. You might be able to use it. It lets you post from your smartphone to the internet. From your smartphone to the internet for free. It also lets you post a picture of your business and a 60-second audio about the job with your beautiful voice directly from your phone to the internet. It cross-posts to your Facebook and Twitter accounts automatically. Are you impressed yet? And it's brought to you by @ChrisRussell, the owner of AllCountyJobs.com. You can spell it JobSpeek.com. Oh, come on. Hey.
Not me.
Thank you.
That's
Cora
again.
Or John.
No.
This ad is paid for. I have to deliver it, okay? JobSpeak. JobSpeak. Even a moron who doesn't know how to spell speak can get there because Chris was smart enough to buy a bunch of URLs that sound like JobSpeak, and it'll all take you to the same place. JobSpeak.com. Okay, now I want you to say it with me, Alex. You're not Alex. I want you to say it with me.
Amy Alla.
Okay, Alla. Amy, can you say JobSpeak.com?
JobSpeak.com.
Louder! JobSpeak.com!
JobSpeak.com!
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Animal, can we discuss people who say mobile instead
number.
Of mobile?
Is
no,
his phone
we
number
can't.
1-800 JobSpeak. That's what I want to know. Does he have a 1-800 JobSpeak number?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Okay. Now look. You know.
Not real valuable if you never post a job on the internet.
Okay, yeah, if you don't, but you know, Cora, if you don't do it, you're behind the times because everyone's going mobile now. Okay.
Everybody's mobile now. Mobile.
Yeah. That's where
mobile
it's at.
Mobile is one thing, but I don't want people who are looking. I want to go find them.
Okay, yeah, you're a headhunter. She's a corporate recruiter. She works differently than you.
Thank you.
I
want people to come to me. Make it easy for me.
Okay,
call them on their mobile phones.
Now, there's an important question.
Mobile.
In fact, this was the first thing that I thought I was going to be talking about, but I've jumped all over. We've got only 10 minutes left. And Amy's got a posting. Amy's got a very popular blog posting called What Exactly Do I Do All Day? Here's what she does. She says, I read the hiring manager's mind. Job descriptions have little, if anything, to do with what the job actually entails. Who writes the job description, Amy, in your company?
HR.
Okay.
Which I am not a part of, by the way. I'm a recruiter.
Yeah. Okay. And so you say after you've got the job description, you have to figure out what problem are they trying to solve?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
What skills and abilities does a candidate need to solve that problem? Now, do you have any examples of that you could tell us about? I mean, remember I said at the beginning that people don't come here with examples. They just like to talk,
convincing. Oh, yeah, war stories. Yeah. I had some good war stories ready for you, but they don't really fit this question. All right, let's
see
here.
Tell us another war story. Do you want to tell a different war story?
You want to hear a story from my light industrial days when I was introduced
to horsing? No, I'm not interested in light industrial,
It was fun.
Okay, tell us.
All right,
I was
a baby recruiter. I mean, I was in the business like a year, and I was running an office here in Seattle, and we had drivers out in the field. That's what we did. We contracted out delivery services. And we had one competitor who went to all of my customers and hired most of my drivers. Said, just change payroll. You know, next week you come work for us. You still have the same job. Client didn't care because he's paying the same hourly rate. You know, he doesn't care who the agency is. So I went out to every single client that he had, not the ones that we shared, but the ones that he had separate from mine. I took all of his people, offered them all a $100 sign-on bonus if they started on my payroll the next day. And I offered three of them dates with my receptionist to make it happen.
Oh.
The next day,
uh-huh.
2 days later, after all of his people are now working for me, he called me and offered me a job.
That's Okay, that's a great story. Let's move let's move back to what I was talking about. That's what you meant by recruiters being self-directed, right?
Yes,
did your boss,
it was.
Did your boss authorize it?
After I did
it. Extra money? After you did it. Okay.
There was no time. We were moving quick.
Okay, are you offering dates for anything you're recruiting on now?
You know,
okay.
She's still mad at me about that.
Okay. You say, now I've got the people, I have to read their minds. What would make them consider an opportunity with my company? Where's their salary threshold? Do they have what it takes to be successful in this circus? I have to influence my hiring managers to give my qualified people an interview. Okay, so these hiring managers, they're the biggest dopes in the world. Isn't that what you make them sound pretty dumb as well, and I've talked about them in the past. They might be good in their own
this
field.
This is the thing. Their full-time job is not recruiting and hiring.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that they're really good at what they do. I'm sure they are. I'm sure that they were put in that position because they can manage servers or sell or whatever.
They had most seniority.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of reasons, right? Their job is not to interview and recruit and hire. That's why they need us. They need us to make that, first of all, hopefully easy for them, but also to make sure it gets done right. I couldn't go into my hiring manager's office and do his job. I don't know anything. I mean, they start talking about cloud and virtualization, and my eyes start glazing over. I have no idea what they're talking about. But I don't need to know in
my
world.
Okay, I heard enough. The other thing is you want another very popular posting of yours. You want to tell people, I'm not a social service. I don't find people jobs. Don't send me your brother-in-law or your kids or whatever. I find people for special jobs, not jobs for people who can't find them themselves. That's
a
big deal with you, right?
Which blog was that? Was that the one that I don't get people jobs, I'm a recruiter?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Great post, by the way.
I facilitate. Thank you. I facilitate.
No, you tell me to people, you say, I'm going to quote you. You say, I have received resumes at birthday parties.
No, somebody else said that, and I said that I had been hit up at birthday parties, yes. But I think
hit
we
up
have a solution.
With resumes or you know, like
my
Gary
style.
Kind of hit up.
Yeah, you ever been hit on at
kids' birthday
parties and be like, hey, my brother's looking for a job. Can you get him a job at Zones? No, I can't.
Amy, you've been hit up at birthday parties, but have you been hit on a radio show?
This is actually my first experience with radio.
Okay.
Every
single
woman that's been on this radio show has been.
Now, Morgan Hoogvelt.
That's the answer right there. We're going to send them all to Morgan because apparently he's smarter than the rest.
Yeah, Morgan, who's an alumnus of this show, he's been a guest. He says, we can get people jobs. He says, I have received countless emails, cards, and notes over the years from people who I gave 1 minute of my time to, who I couldn't help directly but helped indirectly, right?
He's like
and
Superman.
He says, yeah, I don't. I think he calls himself Super Recruiter. Isn't he the Super Recruiter on Twitter? And I don't know if I spent 1 minute with somebody or even half an hour like I did last week with somebody's friend. I don't think I, you know, will get them a job. I don't think I'll be getting cards and letters and Christmas cards.
We just don't
have
that kind of power.
Well, what can I tell them? I can tell them how to look, but I can't get them a job.
Well,
tell them
that's
not what
point.
You do,
you
man.
Know, I have no – I don't know where he's coming from. I gave him a chance to explain, like, hey, unless you're talking about your direct reports, maybe you can share what the heck you're talking about. And the answer he gave was, I build relationships, blah, blah.
Okay, I don't
want to
hear about your fight with Morgan.
I'm
almost out of time. Just be quiet for a second, please.
Have I warned you not to yell at her, animal?
I'm sorry. Anyway, Tim Spaniola, he also... I guess he had Spanish for ancestors at one time, yeah. He also wrote a posting that I kind of liked. He said, no client, I will not send you your ideal candidate. His idea is that these dopey hiring managers come up with images of candidates that are impossible to fill, and he's got to really take them to task. And I think he says to them, he says – in fact, he asks them, look, I'm going to present all qualified candidates. Is that good enough for you, or maybe we shouldn't work together? Mm-hmm. What do you do? How do you handle that?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's essentially what I say. Now, I don't have the luxury of saying, or I'm not going to work with you because I'm a corporate recruiter and this is my client base. I don't get to pick and choose who I work with. But I will say, listen, I'm going to present you the most qualified people. You need to tell me what are the non-negotiables. You've given me 10 things that they need to have. What are the top two that absolutely have to be? And then rank the rest. Because you're not going to get that perfect person. That's why we call it a purple squirrel. It doesn't exist.
And do these guys ever complain to your boss or the director
Absolutely.
Of HR about you?
Of course.
What kind of complaints do they give?
You know, that
there's no thinking on this show. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, you know, just that there was one that I was trying to shove a candidate down someone's throat. That was interesting.
Uh-huh.
I was standoffish with another one. So things like that. For the most part, they're pretty happy, but...
You know, that's not
a
very good story. You know, Amy, if you go on somebody else's If you go on someone else's radio show, get some good stories. I mean, you had one story there from the beginning of your career, okay?
What kind of story do you want? What do you want?
Well, I just asked
Make
a story.
Up.
Did somebody complain about you? I'd like a little drama. Yeah, well, here's what he was looking for, and this is what I say. I said, you're crazy. I'm never going to find somebody like that. How much
Okay,
you
all right,
want
all right, all right, all right. You want, that's where you want to go? Okay, so, yeah, they're looking for, this particular... position
Forget
that we were
it.
Trying to fill. No,
oh,
fine.
Okay.
All right. I'll have to blog about it.
Okay. Look, you got a couple
of
minutes left.
As long as my Twitter
picture's
there, I'm good, right?
I'll put it into your court. Do you have anything or does anybody have a question for Amy? Unstated yet as of yet.
Yeah, where can I find one of those business cards with a cell phone number on it?
You'd probably get one from her hubby.
Go to LinkedIn and
yes.
just tell her you want to join. You want
there
to connect because you
he
heard her on the radio.
Yeah.
Jerry, her
Amy,
husband is not
Amy,
relevant
Amy,
to this conversation.
Do you have anything to Amy, what have we not covered that you think is important to cover? What would you want to teach
know.
Somebody?
Think, what about recruiters that go around the corporate recruiters and go directly to the hiring manager?
Oh, I don't care.
Excellent.
I mean, honestly, if you've got a relationship and they can – this is my point on that, and I think I've mentioned this in a blog before. If the hiring manager wants to work with a third-party recruiter and they want to take the hit for the fee on their budget and that's what works for them and HR is on board, go for it. I got 48 requisitions myself that I'm carrying. It is not going to hurt my feelings to lose one or two of them.
Mm-hmm. You reminded me of a question that I didn't ask, but area code 111 has just called in. At least I just saw him. Do you have anything you want to say before I let Amy go?
That's me. That's Kirby. You've been beating me up, so I figured I'd call
Kirby.
In.
Kirby!
Yeah,
okay.
Kirby!
Cool.
The reason I wanted to call in is while I was listening to the show, my phone rang, and it was a third-party recruiter, and she name-dropped that she had met with our controller today, and she said her name wrong. I just thought it was pretty funny that this was the conversation that we're having. That was her lead-in was, I met with your controller, and... blew the name, but wanted to establish a relationship with me. So, pretty funny stuff.
Maybe she's hot. Did meet with the controller. Never really did catch his name, though. Didn't need to.
No.
And,
it was a fail. It was definitely bad. It was
it
was pretty ironic that it happened during this particular conversation.
Perfect.
Okay.
I love
okay.
it.
Okay. Kirby, thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Kirby.
Cool, everybody. Yeah, thank you. Now, Amy, I guess that's it. We're going to move on to Jerry's show. I have to tell people now, you are not invited to the after show. That's where they discuss
Damn.
This show. What happened?
All right.
Sorry.
But Amy, eventually I'll be taking you over that show, and you're invited anytime you
like. Nice. All right. Well, I'm going to go back to work and
all
make
you,
some
all you have
crappy
to do
cold
is,
calls.
Yeah, if you want to call in
Thanks,
another
Amy.
Time, you can go there and you can judge someone else. But I'm not invited there either. But that's where I'm going to go right now.
My score is 10,000.
Now, Mike, you'll clearly, in the event that I die and you take over the animal show, you'll probably want to change the theme song.
Probably so.
Okay.
Please.
10,000 is your score, huh? That's pretty good. That's pretty high.
You know what? Beyond the fact that she's ridiculously hot, she's actually very smart and very well spoken. And I
down to
love
earth.
Listening to her. Yeah, I love listening to her. One of the better guests that Animals had in a very long time.
Better guests, love it.
I liked her. And I don't normally like any corporate recruiters.
Really?
Yeah, I don't deal with them.
Why not?
They get in the way.
You know, I finally had to ditch that old school thinking, Cora. I really did.
I have not met a corporate recruiter who could answer my questions. They have to go back and get the answers, and then they come back and, well, I got busy and it took me, 4 days to get back with you. And I'm like, so you're not, this isn't an urgent job?
Well, as a corporate recruiter, could I say that perhaps you're just not my highest priority?
Yeah,
Mike is an alleged corporate recruiter from time to time here, Cora, so now's your chance to have it out with him.
I saw that. I just find that maybe it's because I always have dealt with the hiring a manager or the president of the company or the CFO or the VP or whatever.
You know, I got to say, though, over the last...
They tell me the culture. They can tell me the culture better than the HR person can.
I think that there's a lot of HR people that know what's going on.
Well, you know, you're not in Detroit.
Oh, I sure am sometimes.
You're not in Detroit, Dorothy.
Some of my better clients are, my key connection is in the... HR recruiting talent department. And if you get a relationship with somebody who does understand what we do and our need for information and connects you with the hiring manager, whenever needed, however, is the focal point for all the resumes coming through and the feedback, I love it. I mean, I see no reason to not work with a company like that.
Oh, I would probably... Well, no, I don't know if I'd work with them. GM has a talent acquisition senior manager that when I do work for them, he just steps away and says, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know if you need any help.
Yeah.
I only send one or two resumes. And
well, I think you might be missing...
They usually hire two.
You might be missing some other potential opportunities where you do have to start with the internal person, unless you want to stick with relationships that you've already had. I'm saying... Moving forward, like if I'm to go get new relationships right now, and I do, nine times out of ten, that's going to start somewhere down the human resources department hallway, almost always.
Hey, last year I joined the Human Resource Association of Greater Detroit, just so I could try to do that.
Yeah? How'd that go for you?
Yeah.
We were all idiots, and she doesn't want to work with us.
I was as nice as could be, but I found that they were very suspicious of talking to me or anything. And there's other recruiters that in the same group, in that HRAGD, that say, the people who are in the corporate area, they just kind of mistrust all of us. They think we're all here to try to get a job, and that's the last thing I want from them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Jerry, can we also score resume strategy on her tweeting of the Animal Show today? I think she's done a very good job.
I wonder why she hasn't called in lately. What's the deal?
She's not on the phone? She's just listening?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't. She hasn't chimed in. Yeah, we can score everybody on anything that you'd like, Mike. And in the event you ever get to take over the show, you can have multiple scoring categories.
Well, if I take over the show.
Oh, my God, you guys are going to score me because I called in?
No, not you.
Good. Thank God.
Cora, in the after show is we give the Animal Show a score. On a scale of 1 to 100, evaluate the guest, and then the show itself or Animal's execution of the show, his preparedness, the entertainment value, whatever you want to give for score number 2. So how would you score the guest on a score of 1 to 100, Cora May?
I would give her a 90, if not higher. She was good. Much better than the girl last week.
Did you think she was hot, too?
I don't know if she was hot. I don't really look into that part with a woman. I might with a guy, but not with a woman.
Okay.
She was, I thought, pretty well prepared. She had good insight. She had good answers. She had good material. I went and looked at some of her blogs before I came this morning, early before I left.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to know what is she all about, because I'd never heard of her.
So you are an educated guest caller inner then of the show. Nice.
Somewhat. Yeah. I don't like to go to. I wasn't going to call it. Well, I did that last week too. I did the same thing.
How would you? What would you score then for recruiting animal? You know he's Canadian. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes. He is Canadian.
He is actually a recruiter.
You know, I really can't get into all that. Allegedly.
I mean, does he have clients that he actually goes out and recruits for?
He does not go out. He stays in.
Well, I mean, either way.
Yes.
I mean, because when I'm recruiting in Europe, I'm using my Skype. I don't fly, so.
I'm sure he's listening somewhere. He's rattling around in his kitchen saying, well, I can't mention what he might be saying. Yes, he is a recruiter. He is a recruiter. Yeah.
Wow, he's blunt in your face. His show was entertaining to me. I think he interrupted her a couple times when I think he should have let her finish what she was saying.
Yeah, you're not gonna put an end to that.
But I will also say that he did it in the flavor of let's keep going and we're done with that subject.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good too. I liked it.
So give me a score.
Second time? Oh, a score. Hmm. Wow. I'll give him a 95.
So you feel he was better than Amy then?
I was going to say I should probably give her a higher, though, because she really held her own well with him, you know, jumping at her.
All right.
If I give him a 95, I have to give her a 100.
Wow. Fantastic.
What are we talking about again?
Mike A. Stringer, whatever happened to... Oh, what's her name down there in Cincinnati? Animal's friend that used to always be on the show. Maureen. Whatever happened
Cherie?
To her? Yeah.
I thought she was your
the queen of sourcing?
Maureen Sharibe.
Sharibe or Sharab or whatever.
Hey, Mike, give me some scores, man. We got to keep this thing rolling. I've got we're heading to Occupy Wall Street here in a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going to give the guest a 98 because I don't think we've ever had a perfect guest, but she's probably as close to it as we've ever come.
See, that's Cora's inexperience coming through there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's only my second time. Yeah.
But the score can stay. That's fine. And then Animal?
I'm going to give Animal an 80.
All right. Is anybody else even listening? See, sometimes there are people listening and they never say anything. But they might be gone. Cora, I think you may have scared some people away.
From my kitchen stuff, or? Because I was making my lunch.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I have to run. I have to go get an oil change, and I normally do that kind of stuff at lunchtime between 12 and 1. But on Wednesday is the animal show, so.
So can I share some more useless information you don't care about?
Yeah.
Did you see my new motorcycle?
I did. Why aren't you a Harley man? What's the deal?
I just don't see spending that kind of money for a name.
Huh.
Now.
Oh, it's not a name, man. It's a machine.
It's a lifestyle.
Now, that being said.
Yeah, you pay for the lifestyle and a machine. There is nothing better.
Now, that being said,
driving,
Jerry.
You're driving that
Triumph?
Mm. Now, that being said, Jerry, I do wear a Rolex watch. I do wear labels on my clothes. But
I would think nothing short of that.
And I do drive
vanity,
a Jaguar. But
vanity.
Yeah.
And I do drive a Jaguar.
Oh, Cora, that's my whole thing.
Not.
He's from Jersey.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that show, Jersey Shore. That's Mike That's Mike and those guys.
No.
The Situation.
Listen, I was doing a fist pump by myself long before that show was on TV.
All right. Now, Mike, do you ever think that when people see you on a Honda, they think, dude couldn't get up? Dude couldn't get a Harley.
You know,
or do you care?
I ride
care?
With all Harleys. All my friends that ride Harleys, and they break my chops. But you know what? I'm not spending $20,000 on a motorcycle.
Okay.
You'll pay $20,000 for a watch, but not for a motorcycle?
Exactly.
Whoa.
Cora, are
you?
You
need to come out to the Midwest where you know, we understand these kind of things.
Are you a hog rider, Cora?
Bought one for my husband for our 40th anniversary.
Nice.
He's a fireman, and so I bought him the 9/11 special.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jerry, I've rode my share of hogs, but, you know, as long as no one was looking, you know, a hog is like a...
See, that's where my Midwestern family value says we don't say stuff like that on this show. Cora, are you recruiting on anything fun this week, something exciting?
I've been sourcing and talking to people within the FASB and the SEC, the interns and stuff from the public accounting for GE to do some work for them.
Sounds very boring. You're kind of in a marketplace that I never even skirt. That's in the accounting group, isn't it?
It is. It's in the corporate accounting group, but they actually are the ones that are making sure that the financial reporting is exactly as the SEC and the Financial Standards Board wants it to be.
So Sarbanes-Oxley was a pretty good time for you then, wasn't it?
Sure was, yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Very
when
cool.
I don't do that, I do mostly CFOs, so I have a lot of fun.
Super. All right, well, everybody, it's been fantastic. And I
might hear from me again next week. Have fun with your auto change.
Yeah, it's always a good time. Always a good time.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Mike. Good luck with Amy. I hope that works out for you.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
All right, see y'all.
Bye.
Listen, I'm going to give you the same kind of interview as if you're looking for a job. If you were coming to me for a job, I'm going to ask you the very same questions. But we've got a panel interview here. Anybody on the panel is welcome to butt in and ask a question or a follow-up. Is that okay?
Yeah, no problem.
You guys, are you in on this? Do you have some questions? You start thinking about them, okay? Alex, first question. Have you ever heard that Eskimos have 32 different words for snow?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. They were. They do. Anybody else know that?
I knew that.
Okay, yeah. So, well, I was going to ask her, if you were a snowflake, which word would apply to you? That's a pretty good one, eh?
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Well, Lena, we can change it. Alex, if you were a snowflake, what color would you be?